Just let me give you just a couple of announcements. I don't know if it was announced or not, but just to let you know, in case you did not, that the HOPE mission permits were all approved. And so you knew that they had started some digging and started doing some initial work. That is very much continuing because they have all green lights. And so I was told, now this is not official, it's not a promise, but I'll just share what I was told. I was told that they're hoping walls are going up in early September. They're hoping they will have it enclosed before the snow flies. They are hoping they will have it finished in early spring. And as you and I know, construction comes with delays. But this is at least the optimists sharing what they think this is going to look like. So we'll see how things go. You can continue praying, but just to let you know once again, all those permits that we had told you, well, one was approved and one what they were still waiting for, it's all green lights now. So keep that in your prayers. Secondly, just a reminder, we're doing a baptism in a couple of weeks. So you want to be here on August 23rd. Nick doesn't know it yet, but he's sharing his testimony. Is he? Yeah, surprise. So come for his testimony. And of course, we will, after the worship service, we will go to just to the river. I'll give you directions if you don't know where we go along the river. And then we will see Nick take a step of obedience, we sometimes call it, and say, and I've decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. And Jesus says, go to the river. And so that's what this is all about. And we're celebrating with Nick that he has taken that step. And if there are others that are considering that, let's have a conversation, not on the 23rd. Could you let me know in advance and let's sit down and talk about that and see what that, let's hear more about what God's doing in your life and then whether or not baptism is the next thing for you. So let's talk. All right, let's pray. Lord, I once again think about that verse I quoted at the beginning of this service. Lord, would you send out your light and your truth, and would they lead us into your presence? We're not here to get better educated. We're definitely not here to be entertained. We're here because we need to go deeper in a relationship with you. Would you send out your light and your truth, and may they lead us to your presence? May they lead us deeper into relationship with you because we want to love Jesus more. We want to be sensitive to your Holy Spirit, to the presence of Jesus in the room right now, and to the voice of Jesus through the Holy Spirit as he speaks. So would you send out your light and your truth, and may they lead us to your presence for your sake. And thank you that in those verses which you inspired, we see your heart for us. Your heart for us to become a people of truth, become a people of light, and above all, a people of your presence. Have your way among us to these ends. In Jesus' name, amen. We had a commencement here on Friday night. As you know, as clients here work their way through the program and get to the end. There's a commencement night, and during the commencement night, they share a little bit about what God has done in their lives. Once again, congratulations, Thomas. Thomas shared his story on Friday night, and that was awesome. And at the end, if you haven't been to a commencement, at the end, what they always do after the stories have been shared is they get the grads, those who are commencing up front, and then all the other sort of clients and staff and support people come up to the front and they lay hands on these guys. And the music team leads the rest of us in the song called The Blessing, right? Which, you know, the Lord bless you and keep you, right? The Lord make his face shine upon you. It's praying that God would bless them through us and through our words and that he would be at work in their lives. And of course, that song, that blessing, as you well know, because I quote it every week, comes from Numbers 6. And in Numbers, the book of Numbers chapter 6, God speaks to his priests and he says, I want to make sure that my people get blessed. that things go well for them. And in order to do that, I'm going to give you something that you are to speak over my people as you minister to them. And when you do, what will happen is I will convey my blessings through you to them. And they will be blessed. They will be blessed with my presence. They will be blessed with flourishing. And the words, as you know, is the Lord, so the priests speak, the Lord bless you. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you, which means to look after. Shepherds keep sheep. They provide for them. They nourish them. They protect them. May the Lord be a shepherd to you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you, which is a way of saying, may the Lord smile on you. It's like the Lord, may the Lord look up and recognize, oh, it's Everett, and smile because he recognizes it's Everett. Right? May the Lord do that to you week after week. That's what the priests are praying. May the Lord turn his face towards you, which means the Lord, there's this sense of increased attention. May the Lord give increased attention to you, and may he give you peace. Peace does not mean in Hebrew the absence of conflict. Peace is shalom, which has much more of the idea of there's no conflict, and instead what has replaced it is human flourishing. May you flourish in the ways that you were most designed to flourish because your Creator is flowing through someone else to you and making it happen. And that's why I pronounce this blessing over you week after week, because that is my prayer, and I see myself in that priestly role to convey and speak God's presence and God's blessing and God's shalom for the sake of your flourishing week after week after week. Have you ever been in front of your kids and you're actually doing this, and they're looking for your attention, and your attention is on your phone? Our little six-year-old Rosalyn, learned to whistle about a year ago, taught herself to whistle. And when she did so, I quickly found myself doing this and then hearing, hey, Dad. Dad, as she was learning to whistle and using it to get my attention. And there is a little bit of that nuance right within this blessing. May the Lord turn his face toward you. May the Lord's face shine upon you. In other words, the Lord does not always give you his undivided attention. And I know that might actually shock some of you to think in those terms, because you just think God has eyes and his eyes are everywhere and he's always focused. And that might be your theology. But the Bible doesn't actually say that. In fact, the Bible will at times use language in prayers of like the Psalms, Psalm 35, Psalm 43, Psalm, I think it's 53 as well, 56, something like that. I wrote it down, but I'm not here. The psalmist will actually pray and say, God, wake up. What does that imply? It's metaphorical language. God is obviously not sleeping, but at the same time, it's a call to God's, hey, God, pay attention. God, I need you. And the blessing is doing the same thing. It's saying, Lord, would you look up? Would you turn your face toward me? Because when we have God's attention in the way that we need, the people praying it and the people receiving the blessing know the blessing comes through God paying careful attention to his people. And what comes after that is flourishing. Would you pray that now? I'm going to bless you the way that I do at the end of the service. And I want you to close your eyes, receive it, and say, Lord, I am receiving this. Would you bless me with the things that are being offered in this blessing? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Just pray to receive that now. Okay, I hope you prayed it. I've actually baited you with a hook in the process. as you will see. Would you open your Bibles to Psalm 67? Psalm 67 starts with the blessing. It's quoting the blessing that we just prayed, we just received. Verse 1 says, "May God be gracious to us and bless us." Maybe just before that, let me note, this is a psalm, meaning it's a prayer. The book of Psalms are a book of prayers, but they were used and originally, some of them originally composed to be used in worship. So you will see the description just between where it says Psalm 67 and verse 1. It says that this was to be given to the director of music. It was used with stringed instruments. It was a song. They sang this. It was part of their worship. Now notice, in their worship, they're saying, "May God be gracious to us and bless us." They are addressing him. "May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us." Now just pause there. I want you to notice the very next words. Why are they blessed? So that. Would you actually put this scripture up on the screen for me, please, Marco? Thank you. What's the difference between a river and a lake? Obvious question, I know. One is standing water and one is moving water, right? You are blessed to be a river. That the blessing would move from one place to the other. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us so that we could have a wonderful spiritual experience and go home really happy. Right? No. There's more. So that your ways may be known on the earth and your salvation among the nations. There's this incredible picture in the book of the prophet Ezekiel, the very end of the book, where he sees that this prophetic picture of the temple, the place where God's presence is, and there's this trickle coming out from under the door, and it's going out the exit of the temple, and it's flowing down, and it's flowing away from the city, and it's moving out towards the wilderness, and it's going out towards all of the dry places, and it's making its way down to the Dead Sea, the place where nothing lives. And along the way, as the river flows, it gets deeper, and what it brings with it is healing. It brings healing to all of the places around. And the places that were dry and had nothing start to sprout trees that bring healing around them. The place starts to flourish because the blessing of the presence of God leaves the place of worship to the place where it to go to the places that are dead, the places where it's most needed. You're meant to be a river. You were given a river in order to convey the rivers of living water to the people who most need it, the places that most need it. Now notice it says, we are blessed so that your ways may be known on the earth. In Hebrew, it's actually not your ways, plural, it's singular, your way. Who's the way and the truth and the life? Now I have studied long enough to know. I know that the original guy writing Psalm 67 didn't know Jesus and didn't have Jesus in mind. Nevertheless, Jesus is the ultimate embodiment of God's way, which is why he calls himself the way. And there is one way, and there is no other way. And that's gotten twisted these days to make it sound like Christians are cranky and exclusive, as though that's a bad thing. The way was meant to be an invitation to life. This is the way. People who didn't have a way get the way, and they get a guide. Look at verse 4, that the nations would be guided, that they would find their way. So let's actually look at those verses. Because what God is offering is a way where a way is needed to people who need it. So notice again the logic of going from verse 1 through verse 2 to verse 3, because this is incredibly important. So may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us so that your ways, Lord, may be known on the earth, your salvation among the people who do not yet know you. May the peoples praise you, God. They're not talking about themselves. They're talking about the other cultural groups, religions, and ethnicities of the world who don't yet know God as the true God in true way. May all the peoples praise you. May all the peoples praise you, God. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples with equity and you guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. Our goal is not to be blessed and then to keep our spiritual experiences and highs to ourselves. It's not so simply so that we can have a better life. It's so that others would come to know Jesus, know God and his way to the point that they sing for absolute joy that God poured out his spirit on someone else. And I am the recipient of that blessing. That's the goal. That people who currently don't know Jesus would have an experience of light and truth coming to them and discovering, this is what I'm made for. I've met my maker. I've met my creator. I've found the way. I have found the guide. And the prayer is that nations and their nationals would come to meet Jesus and to discover that he has life and healing and truth and can help each one of us to become what we were always designed to be. That's why this psalm right in the middle focuses on those who aren't like us, those who don't yet know Jesus. And its goal is that they would meet him in such a way that the next response is gratitude and worship and joy, rejoicing. That's why God wants to bless you. That's why God wants to fill you with his spirit. That's why you know him, so that others will. After that, it gets interesting. It ends on an interesting note. The land yields its harvest, verse 6. God, our God, is already blessing us. May God bless us still, so that the ends of the earth will fear him. And if, for any number of different reasons, to hear it end on that note might feel a little anticlimactic to you. That the ends of the earth might fear God? Like fear? Why are we talking about fear? We started with blessing. Why are we ending with fear? What's going on here? Let me tell you a story. In my mid-20s, we moved to Vancouver. I went to school at a place called Regent College. And in the first week of school, the president of the school, and it's a small college, a few hundred students, but the president of the school had what he called chai and chocolate times that he invited new students to come to get to know him. It was a really, really interesting experience. So I and a group of students signed up to go and have chai tea and eat some chocolate. I don't like chai tea, by the way. I discovered that I don't like chai tea in this time, though. Just because I don't like taste, not because of the bad experience or anything. It was a great experience. We as our young and very nervous new students, we go up to the president's office. We have to walk past the gatekeeper, you know, and go into this very large office, beautiful windows, amazing view, beautiful room. He's got an awesome desk there, as well as this big boardroom table that we all got to sit around while his assistant is making us tea and setting out chocolate in these places. And we were going in there into this time with this mixture of both kind of an intimidation, a little bit of a, oh, what have we signed ourselves up for here? Who is this? And also kind of excitement that we had sort of been honored by this someone of position and authority right into sort of an inner space. We were there by invitation, and that was really cool. It was a really interesting experience. And he shared his story with us. He shared about the school. He shared how he came to be there. He shared that one of the reasons that he always invites students to do this at the beginning of the year is because students sometimes later find themselves in authority figures' offices for reasons that, you know, based on poor decisions or whatever that students have made. Maybe there's some discipline that needs to happen, or maybe they're not going to be able to stay at the school or something like that. And he doesn't always get a chance to meet those students prior. And so what he wanted to do was make sure that we had a good relationship right from the start so that people would know that he was safe and that this was a safe place to be. And so that the relationship was well established on the right footings. We had a great time. He told us about himself. He asked us about ourselves. We developed a relationship. Now, when we finished that time, we still left that office with a mixture of, intimidation. This is Professor, Doctor, President so-and-so, right? Though he introduced himself by his first name, and we left with that first name basis relationship. But there was still that mixture of, we are young students, this is an authority figure, and yet we are in relationship. That's the kind of dynamic that the Bible talks about when it talks about the fear of the Lord. There's this respect for and honor and a little bit of intimidation in terms of this is an authority figure, a figure with power and influence and all of that, rightly so. And yet, we matter to him and we are in relationship with him and we are known by name. And yet we still come away from this experience with the Lord, recognizing all of that. And actually all of those things, the respect, the intimidation, the authority, the difference, the distinction between the two of us, actually helps establish and maintain a good relationship. If I put my feet up on his desk and said, "Hey, Rod, good to see you," we wouldn't have left with the same kind of relationship, right? But the fact that we navigated that difference in that dynamic in a healthy way actually produced and maintained and established the relationship that's needed. And what God is looking for, what the psalmist is looking for, is that everyone would come to know Jesus personally as Lord, that we would get to know God for who he is, that he is a God of blessing, that he wants to bless not only us, but to bless people through us, and that people who don't yet currently know him would come to say, "I have found my identity, I have found my value, I have found the source of who I am and all of my worth in this person who knows me. And I have discovered that worship comes out as I see him and as I meet him." And then what is established through that is this also this healthy, respectful, reverential, in a sense fearful, but a little bit more like honor probably conveys that a little better than fear in some ways, but that we have that kind of relationship dynamic with the Lord so that we can be and continue in healthy relationship. It's all about relationship, beginning to end. So may the Lord bless you and bless me and bless us so that we can convey something of the Lord to those who most need it, so that we can become a river and offer rivers of living water to the people who most need it, that others would come into a relationship with God where they see all I can do is worship because I see you for who you are. And may we all come into that respectful, honoring, reverential worship that we give him the honor that he deserves. Let's pray. Lord, you have so much good news to offer us. Forgive us when we haven't gone your ways. We come back to you again to say, Lord, you're the only way. In your light, we see light. As one of the other Psalms says. Thank you that we get moments where we get a bit of a picture of who you are, the God who deserves our worship. But more than deserving our worship, you are the God who, when we see you and meet you, it just comes out of us. I pray that you would convey your blessings into our lives in such a way that the worship would come out of us and that there would be something that would go from us to those who aren't yet in that relationship with you so that the relationship is firmly established on the right footings and others come to see you. And as they see you, they say, I can do nothing other than worship. I pray for more of those experiences, and I bless each one here with more of those experiences so that again and again and again it gets repeated, that our loved ones, that our neighbors, that this downtown would meet Jesus, discover your life and your truth, and your goodness, and your blessing, that the ripple effects would continue. In Jesus' name, amen. Our last song is a video. And I want to read you the lyrics before we play it. Probably a lot of you will know it, but they go, it's the song of the redeemed rising from the African plain. It's the song of the forgiven drowning out the Amazon rain. The song of Asian believers filled with God's holy fire. It's every tribe, every tongue, every nation. A love song born of a grateful choir. How did Africans and Asians and South Americans become a grateful choir singing praise to God? God poured out his blessing on someone and they became a river and took that river to the people who needed it. So would you make this your prayer as well as your worship? Would you rise, please? And we'll close with this. If you want the blessing that's promised today that we're talking about, I would even encourage you to open your hands and receive it here now, because it's a promise from God. This is number 6. The Lord said to Moses, tell the priests, this is how you are to bless my people. Say to them, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. So the priests will put my name, and name always brings presence. So the priests will put my name and my presence on my people, and I will bless them. Thus saith the Lord. Lord bless you and keep you, friends. Have a great week. Thank you.